Welcome to the weekly podcast from the First Church of Christ in East Palestine, Ohio. We're glad you decided to join us, and we hope you enjoy this week's message.
They stood side by side, shoulder to shoulder, and answered the call. They moved forward, advancing the ideas that everyone was free, everyone was created equal, everyone has the right to pursue their own dreams, and that our nation was founded on those ideals. But not all of them came back. Some remained, never to go home, never to see their families. And some we lost this side of the field of battle. They were sons and daughters, brothers and sisters, fathers and mothers, greatly loved. They charged forward for honor and peace and freedom. We acknowledge the empty space where we want them to be. Together we pay sincere tribute to those who fought for us, those we remember, those we love.
I'm starting a new sermon series on June 7th. Next week, we'll be passing out study guides to you here. To anybody who's not here and cannot take one home, we will send them to you in the mail. So we'll have an opportunity to study together. We're going to be looking at the seven churches of Revelation and how that speaks to us today, how it speaks to the church today. So we want to keep you involved. We're not having Sunday school. We're not having Wednesday nights. And hopefully, these study guides will help you be involved, if you wish, at home. During the last 10 weeks, I've been preaching to a microphone. It doesn't respond to me at all. It just sits there. And I'm looking at you today, and I don't know how you're responding with those masks on. I mean, you could be sticking your tongue out at me. I don't know. You could be frowning. That's always a possibility. A good possibility, probably. But I can see your eyes, so stay awake if you would. John Claypool was a professor and a preacher, author. He wrote numerous books. He died in 2002, but he wrote a book, The Light Within You, and in that book he talked about when his little daughter got leukemia, acute leukemia. And after a short time, they found a treatment for it, and she got the treatment, and she seemed to be doing better. They thought it went into remission. They thought maybe it was a misdiagnosis. She was doing better. And then on Easter Sunday, can you imagine? It was an Easter Sunday. It came back with vengeance, and she was hospitalized for a number of weeks, eyes completely swollen shut. And she laid there, and she talked to her dad. And one night, she was especially in pain, and the room was dark, and she said to her daddy, "Dad, when is God going to take this leukemia away?" And her preacher dad said, "Honey, we've been praying for this and praying for this and praying for this, and, you know, we're doing everything we can." And she said, "I know, Daddy, but when is God going to take the leukemia away?" And John Claypool writes this. He says, "What do you say to such childlike directness when the heavens seem so utterly silent?" And you know, during this time, there are people who seem to think that God has abandoned them, that God is silent, that he's not working or acting now at all. And you know, it's not unusual for people to feel like that. David felt like that. In Psalm 22, David said, my God, why have you forsaken me?" This isn't working. We'll see if it continues to work. My God, why have you forsaken me?" Now, you're familiar with those words because those are the words that Jesus spoke upon the cross. The psalm here is a messianic psalm. It's a prophecy about what the Messiah would say. But David is feeling the same thing. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me, so far from my cries of anguish? My God, I cry out to you by day, but you do not answer. But isn't it very interesting? Right after the 22nd Psalm, where he is questioning whether God has abandoned him, we have the 23rd Psalm. "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Now, how do you move from the 22nd Psalm to the 23rd Psalm? How do you move from feeling that God has abandoned you, that he doesn't care, that he doesn't hear, that he doesn't act on your behalf? How do you move from that to knowing that he is your shepherd, that he watches over you, that he takes care of you, that he knows what's happening in your life, that he's involved? He has not abandoned you. He is not silent. He guides your path. How do you move from the 22nd Psalm, the psalm of what we might call desperation? How do you move from that to the 23rd Psalm, which ends with these words, "And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever"? You talk about not being abandoned. You talk about not being ignored. You talk about getting God's attention. You're going to live in his house with him forever. Now, how do we move from thinking that God doesn't care, that God doesn't understand what's happening to us? How do we do that to understanding that he is with us, that he's our shepherd? Well, I want to suggest three things this morning that we need to remember when we feel desperate, when we feel like God is silent, when we feel like God is not acting or doing anything. And the first thing is this: we need to remember that he is still at work. Maybe the way to learn some lessons about what seems to be the absence of God or the silence of God is to look at a period of time when God was really silent. I'm talking about that period of time between the Old and New Testament. The last book in the Old Testament is Malachi. The events of Malachi end about 425 BC. And then we got nothing as far as God speaking until Matthew, the book of Matthew, which takes place about a year before the birth of Christ. So we have basically people rounded off a 400-year period of silence there. For 400 years, we do not have a word from the Lord. For 400 years, we do not have any prophets speaking. For 400 years, God is silent. The world goes on. History moves forward. Big things happen to the Jewish nation. Some bad things happen to the Jewish nation, and God is silent. But one of the important things we discover over this 400-year period of silence is that even though we don't hear from God, God is still working. He is still accomplishing his purpose. Even though he wasn't speaking, he was still at work. The book of Malachi ends with the Persian Empire being the dominant power in the world. They're the big guys on the block. They rule the most of the known world. And I want to give you just a little picture of the history of that 400 years. And I shouldn't say the Bible doesn't say anything about those 400 years, because the Bible does prophesy about the events that happened during those 400 years. But we don't have any biblical books written during that time frame. We don't have any Bible characters during that time frame. We don't have any prophets speaking during that time frame. Now, during the first 100 years of that 400 years of silence, the Persian Empire is the world power. They've been the world power for a couple hundred years. And they have tried time and time again to go east and to overthrow Greece and to overthrow Macedonia, but they haven't been able to do that. They've been able to do pretty much anything else they wanted to do. They were a very powerful nation, an amazing army, but they were not able to overthrow Greece or Macedonia. About 359 BC, a fellow by the name of Philip became king of Macedonia. Over a period of time, he expanded his kingdom to Greece. But then in 336 BC, Philip was assassinated, and his son took over. His son's name was Alexander. You know who he was, Alexander the Great. We call him the Great because in 12 years, he quickly, conquered the entire known world, including the Persian Empire. So here's why that is significant. During this time, while the Greeks were ruling the world, their language became a common language. This is really the first time, when you think about it, since the Tower of Babel, where everybody in the world could speak the same language. It is said that in that day, everyone could speak a little Greek. And here's the point. This is all this, what's happening during these 400 years of silence, all this is preparing the way for the coming of Jesus Christ into the world. God is preparing for the birth of a son. When Jesus comes into the world, there is a common language worldwide. And that's good news, because the good news of Jesus Christ is going to be able to spread quickly around the world because of this common language. Now, around 280 BC, in a city called Alexandria, the Old Testament was being translated into the Greek language. Up to this point of time, it was only in the Hebrew language. Only the Jews could read it. But now, 280 BC, during this 400 years of silence, the Greek Old Testament, the Hebrew Old Testament is translated into the Greek. Now, people who were not Hebrews, who could not read Hebrew, now it's written in the common language, and people can read it. They can understand about God. They can understand about the Messiah who is coming. And then in 168 BC, the Romans became the world power. First you had the Medes and the Persians, and then the Greeks, and then the Romans. And the Romans built highways throughout the whole Roman Empire. Now, they did this so they could quickly get their armies from one place to the next in case there was an uprising. But they had an interstate system through the whole Roman Empire. And what this did is it made it easy now for everyone in Rome to travel from place to place quickly. Then in about 27 AD, Pax Romana was declared. Now, Pax Romana simply means peace in Rome. So there were no civil wars in Rome, no uprisings for around 200 years. Peace in Rome. Now, outside of Rome, there are still people who wanted to attack Rome, but within the Roman Empire itself, there was peace. So this was a very unique time in history. Rome ruled the whole known world. And if you were in Rome, the Roman Empire, you could travel somewhere quickly. You could travel somewhere and you could communicate with people as you traveled, and you could feel safe as you traveled. Now, why does all that matter? Well, Jesus is going to be born, and the good news of his life, his death, and his resurrection will be able to spread throughout the world quickly, and the church will grow very quickly. Because travel was easy, and there's a common language, and people feel safe to move. The book of Galatians tells us that Jesus was born at just the right time. You see, God, even though he was silent during these 400 years, he's working and he's getting ready for Jesus to be born. We should not think that God is not aware of what's happening in our world. And let me suggest to you just three ways, and I'm just suggesting these, that I think we can see God working even during this period of this pandemic. And I don't want you to misunderstand me. I'm not saying that God caused the past pandemic at all, but that he's working as this pandemic hits the world. The Bible reminds us in Romans chapter 8, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. And I think we can see God working in that even at this time, even during this pandemic, there's a greater openness to the gospel. I mean, anytime people are desperate, anytime there's a tragedy, anytime there's suffering, people search for hope. And studies show us that people turn to God during times like this. Now, I'm not saying God has caused this so people will turn to him, but anytime there's suffering, it's good for us to take a look at our lives and think, how's God involved? How can God help me? What is God doing? And people who had never listened to a sermon before have been turning on to listen on television, turning to church podcasts, going to iTunes, and listening to sermons. So people are listening, and they're talking about heaven and hell. They're talking about God. People are searching, and that's a good thing. And I also think we see God working through this period of this pandemic because community is still strong. It's quite astonishing, you know, when people are unable to gather, that God is still drawing people together at this time. And this social distancing, this isolation, has reminded us how much we need each other, how much fellowship is important. But people have been very creative in different ways in which they have continued to find fellowship and community even during this time. And I think we see God working in that this time helps you to grow in your faith. It doesn't matter who you are, COVID-19 is affecting everyone in some way or another. And for us as Christians, you know, sometimes we ask questions like, why is God allowing this? Why doesn't God just stop it? And as we wrestle with questions like that, and really wrestle with questions like that, it helps our faith to deepen. It helps our faith to become anchored. And we know relief might not come the way we want it to come, and it might not look the way we want it to look, but through all this, we discover that we can count on God. God has not stopped working. He is not silent. He is not passive. He is on the move, and he's working in the hearts and the faith of his people. Well, the second thing I want you to see here, when it seems like God is silent, we need to remember that he is still keeping his promises. People say, God, why don't you do something? But the truth is, God has done something, and he is doing something. Now, think about that 400 years of silence. That's a long time. That's not one generation, but it's generation after generation after generation after generation. I mean, that's a long time for God to be silent. But it's interesting to know that God prophesied. He spoke about what was going to happen during those 400 years. In Daniel chapter 2, chapter 7, chapter 8, chapter 11, Daniel records event after event after event that's going to take place during those 400 years. So what God did is he wrote about what was going to happen before it happened. He said, here's what's going to happen, and he prepared the people for it. So we look at these prophecies, and we are reminded that God did speak. He spoke before the things happened. He spoke before the storms hit. He spoke before he was silent. And what he said, his promises came true. Imagine a young man who's in the service, and he goes overseas to Afghanistan, and he's able to communicate by Skype and email and with his wife. But he's told he's going to go on a mission. He's not going to be able to talk to her anymore. And he tells her this, you know, for the next month, I'm not going to be able to talk to you. I'm not going to be able to see you or hear your voice. And she can tell that this is upsetting to him. So the next few nights, she writes letter after letter after letter, and she mails those to him, and he gets them before he goes on this mission. And he reads them, and he takes them with him on the mission. And when he's on that mission, although he cannot talk to her personally, he takes out those letters, and these are her words. These are what she said. And he reads her encouragement, and he reads her response to him over and over and over again. And that's what God's word does for us. In these moments of silence, we know God has spoken. He keeps his promises. And what he says is true. We can always trust him. I'm sure the people during that 400 years encouraged each other by reading the word of God. They probably read passages like Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will uphold you with my righteous hand. And when we face those periods when we feel alone and we wonder if God hears us, we wonder if God cares, all we need to do is pick up his word and read it to know that he does. Hebrews 13:5. God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? And we read Revelation chapter 21. And we're told that there will be a day when he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying, for the old order of things has passed away. We hold on to these promises. We remember that God has spoken and his promises are faithful. He is faithful and his promises are true. One other thing I want you to remember when it seems like God is silent, and that is he is still watching. It may feel like at times that God is not paying attention to you anymore. And we ask God, are you seeing what I'm seeing? I mean, do you get the news up there? But God knows what's going on. He's aware of the COVID-19 pandemic. He knows over 300,000 people worldwide have died. He knows around 90,000 people in the United States have died. He knows the economy is struggling. He knows about 39 million people have filed for unemployment in the United States. He knows the suicide rate has gone up. He knows the emotional strain this has placed upon people. He's watching. He knows what's happening. In the Old Testament, God had a servant by the name of Job. He was a very righteous man, a great man of God. But he loses just about everything. He loses his wealth. He loses all his children at one time, 10 children. He loses his health. He loses his servants. And he tries to make sense out of all this. And in Job 23, verses 8 and 9, we read this. Job says, but if I go to the east, he is not there. That is, God is not there. If I go to the west, I do not find him. When he is at work in the north, I do not see him. When he turns to the south, I catch no glimpse of him. So basically, Job is saying, look, honestly, I don't know where God is. I'm looking for him everywhere. I'm crying out. I do not hear him. I do not see him. But notice what he says next. But he knows the way that I take. When he has tested me, I will come forth as gold. Job says, I can't see God, but I know he knows everything that's happening. And Job sees what's happening as a test. Now, he's right, it is a test. It is not a test that God has sent to him. It's a test that God has allowed Satan to give him. And Job says this, basically, when the test is over, you know what? I'm getting an A. When the test is over, I'm passing with flying colors. Because he's going to treasure God's word and he's going to live its truths. He's going to come out of this mess like gold. Now, you know what happens when gold goes through the fire? The impurities come out. And when the gold comes out of the fire, it is more precious, it is more valuable, it is more pure than when it went into the fire. And I hope, like Job, during this pandemic and any time we face an illness or a problem or trouble, we face hardships or difficulties or suffering in our lives. And we can't see at the moment of how God is working in our lives. It seems like he's not interested in what is happening to us. I hope that we will remember, like Job, that God is watching. God is aware of what's happening. And that we will come out of these difficulties shining like gold, faithful to God. Remember, God is still working. God is still keeping his promises, and God is still watching. Now, as Christians here this morning, please remember those things. Now, if you're here this morning, you're not a Christian, you need to make that decision to become a Christian, see me after the service. We have the baptistry ready. We're ready this morning to help you become a Christian, become part of God's family, and baptize you into Christ. Let's close with a prayer. Thank you, Father, for your blessings, for the opportunity to be here today. We know that you're in charge, Father. We know you're in control. We know you're watching us. We ask that you would keep everyone here safe, that you would bless us as we leave, and that, Father, we know that you're acting now. Help us to understand what you would have us to do as your people, how we can help others, how we can serve you, how we can be a light to the world at this time. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening. We are meeting again on Sunday for one service at 10 a.m. and following the recommended social distancing protocol. Our midweek services are still online only. Stay safe and have a great week.